This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
This month's astronomer is Dr. Ian MacDonald. Our first question is, has any of the spacecraft leaving the solar system, Pioneer 10 and 11, Voyager 1 and 2, unwittingly passed near a Kuiper Belt object?
Well, it depends on what you mean by near. Space is pretty empty after all. We don't really have a good idea of what the density of Kuiper Belt object is. Originally, when the Pioneer spacecraft passed through the asteroid belt, there was quite a lot of concern that it was going to be so dense that any spacecraft might have been hit by at least a very small asteroid, maybe about the size of a grain of sand or more, which would have wreaked havoc with all the instrumentation on board. And like the asteroid belt in the 1970s, we've got very little idea of how many Kuiper Belt objects are out there today. I could only find one measurement that's been published back in 2009, and that's just the Kuiper Belt objects, larger than about 250 metres or so, are probably spaced from the nearest neighbours by about 1.5 million kilometres, give or take. So the closest that any of the spacecraft is likely to have got to them is about 15,000 kilometres, so considerably closer than the distance between the Earth and the Moon. And this might seem really close in space terms, but what would they actually see? Now, the Voyager cameras are turned off to save power, but they've got about the same spatial resolution as the human eye. Each pixel is about 14 arc seconds across. And at that distance, you'd need to have an object that's over about a kilometer across to make out anything more than a point. Kuiper Belt objects are intrinsically very dark as well, and the sun's very feeble at that distance, which means that you're not going to see very much. And that combination means that the chance of seeing anything worth the entire effort of reprogramming from scratch the Voyager cameras to look at them is quite slim. So in cosmic terms, all four probes have probably been quite reasonably close to some unidentified lump of Kuiper Belt rubble, but probably not close enough to be interesting.
Okay, thank you. Our second question is from another Ian, who asks, please can you explain to me the curvature of the Earth? I'm trying to understand at what level of curvature the Earth is over certain distances. I do not understand the maths used to determine this, and wondered if you could clarify.
Well, we're all familiar with the curvature of the Earth at some level. Even if you go down to the line of the beach and look at the shoreline, you'll only see the waves rolling in immediately in front of you, and you'll probably get a wet face. But if you climb up above the beach, you'll start seeing things further away. Ships, coastlines, etc. And if you jump into an aeroplane, you'll see much further. If you go into Earth orbit, even further still, and by the time you reach the Moon, you'll be seeing about half of the Earth. Now, how far away your horizon lies depends on the height above ground you are. And if you are interested in the maths behind this, the Wikipedia page on the horizon gives some good examples. The distance to your horizon also depends on the local topography and atmospheric refraction. But in the best physics tradition, for now we'll assume that the Earth is some beautifully polished sphere with no mass and no atmosphere. And if you're tethered to this mythical object with your spacesuit on, you can calculate how far you can see around this unusual object as follows. If you take the radius of the Earth in metres, multiply it by your height above the surface in metres, double this number, and take its square root. That answer will be approximately the distance to your horizon in metres. And if you're a fairly average height, you'll find your horizon to be a little under 5 kilometres, or 3 miles away. Now, it's often said that you can see ships disappearing over the horizon like this, but from these sorts of altitudes, the effect of atmospheric refraction is much stronger. Differences in the temperature of the air causes the light to bend, making things appear below the horizon when they shouldn't be, and allowing you to see things beyond the horizon that you wouldn't expect to. And in certain conditions, these can lead to some spectacular mirages. But let's go back to our beach in something close to the real world on a much calmer day. And if you climb up your local lighthouse, you might find that your horizon has increased from about 5 kilometres to about 20 kilometres, or 12 miles. And if you climb up your typical local hill, you'll find it's even further, maybe about 50 kilometres or 30 miles. And if you climb up something like Mauna Kea in Hawaii, which I've been fortunate enough to do, you can watch the sunset from behind the ocean that's about 230 kilometres, or about 145 miles away. There's only a handful of sight lines in the world where you can see further over the ocean than this, and certainly not in almost every direction at the same time. So if you're in Hawaii, I'd recommend it. It's not hard to find other places on Earth where you can see more than 150 miles or more, but usually this is because you're looking from one mountain top to another, while the rest of that mountain is below the horizon. And I think this is cheating a little bit. I had a look for the longest photograph distances I could come up with, and that's a pair of mountains that's spaced by about 240 miles in Alaska, and you really have to squint in these photos to see them. The longest theoretical distance I could come across was about 300 miles in Columbia, but I don't think anyone's managed to see it, never mind photograph it. Of course, things are a lot easier if you go up in an aeroplane. Cruising at 40,000 feet, your horizon might be stretched out to maybe 400 kilometres or 250 miles. Although by now you're typically looking through so much scattered light that the horizon itself is normally invisible. Even Felix Baumgartner, jumping out of his balloon, only saw a horizon that was about 700 kilometres away. Now, astronauts in the International Space Station have things a little bit better, but even in low Earth orbit, you can only see to about 2,300 kilometres away, and that's about 1,400 miles. To really see the whole Earth, you have to travel far above it, and only 24 people in the whole of human civilization have ever done that.
Thank you. Our final question is from Sean Mulcahy. He asks, what's the first object in the night sky you can see with the naked eye?
At least we hope that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah. Sorry, Sean.
Well, there's a simple and quite easy and definitive answer for this one. It's the Andromeda Galaxy, and it's also known as M31. It's about 780 kiloparsecs away, which means that the light we see from it left it around 2.5 million years ago. And you can see this with the naked eye under fairly reasonable conditions. I can see it from my slightly light-polluted townhouse in a good night. Now, there's a handful of more distant galaxies that are theoretically visible, but they would require absolutely perfect conditions, a very experienced eye, and eyesight much better than average to see them. Generally, they're not credited as being visible. But at various points in human history, someone has seen a supernova go off in one of these galaxies, or a more distant galaxy. These are very rare. The last time this happened was in 2008, and most people wouldn't be able to find it anyway. But it did get me wondering, what if the Andromeda Galaxy isn't above the horizon? What's the second furthest thing you can see? Well, for those in the southern hemisphere, the furthest thing you'll be able to see are the two Magellanic Clouds, which are about 150 and 200,000 light-years away, so considerably closer than the Andromeda Galaxy. And the Andromeda Galaxy and the Magellanic Clouds represent the only naked-eye objects that we can properly see outside our galaxy. Everything else we see belongs in the Milky Way. And when you look at the Milky Way in the night sky, particularly if you live far enough south to get a good view of the constellation Sagittarius, what you're looking at is the light of millions, billions of stars, which lie at a range of distances. And many of these will be near the centre of the Milky Way, 25,000 light-years away. But if you can't see that far south, the globular cluster M13 is at about the same distance. If you want to consider the furthest individual stars, you might want to look on the other side of the night sky from M13. Of the few thousand stars visible to the naked eye, some of the most distant are the supergiants Rho Cassiopeiae and Mu and Nu Cephei. These are all between 6,000 and 8,000 light-years away, and if you're in the north and your skies are clear, you might be able to see them tonight.
Okay, thank you very much, Ian.